Hey, brothers and sisters, and welcome to the CMI School of Christ. And we're going to continue with our class here, The Obedience of the Heart. And we've had our CMI Summer Bible Conference. And if you'd like to check that out, that's on our website. It was really good. I just finished listening to all the sessions one more time in some of my travels. And they were really good. I actually heard a theme throughout. But I'll let you guys, if you're interested, you can just go to our website and just download them all. That's what I did. I downloaded all of them and just listened to all of them as I was driving. But we're going to go ahead and continue with our class today, The Obedience of the Heart. And we're going to continue with a passage that I didn't finish from our last class. And it's a passage in Matthew 19, verses 16 through 30 with Jesus. Or the passage is called The Rich Young Ruler. That's usually how some of the Bibles subtitle the whole passage there. But it's in Matthew 19, verse 16 through 30. And you may have noticed behind me on the board, I kind of have a modification to my diagram, and I'll be talking about it in a second with our class. But just some things were on my heart of the Lord to try to bring some clarity. I know that the clarity is there in my heart, but to be able to present that clarity as well. And I think I had to tweak with my diagram just a little bit to kind of make that a little bit more clear, I guess. And I'll explain it, as I said. But here in Matthew 19, 16 through 30, the last verse I think we left off in our last class was verse 21. But I'll just kind of go ahead and read the whole passage again just to kind of refresh ourselves. It's been several weeks. Verse 16, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me." And verse 22. "But when the young man heard that saying, he went away, sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first." And the passage where we left off on our last class of this passage was actually verse 21, and we're picking up with verse 22. One thing I do want to mention, though, from verse 21 is basically this. Jesus says, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." Perfect treasure in heaven, and come be one with the way, with the road, who Christ is. Okay? So verse 22, "But when the young man heard that saying, he went away." And you can say, well, he heard. Therefore, he understood the cost. You can say he understood the cost, and he considered what he had to be of greater value than what Christ himself is. So he went away. All right? You can also see, or I'll just go ahead and read this. This is the vines. I looked at that term herd, H-E-A-R-D. I looked it up in different lexicons, and this is the Vines Dictionary. And what the passage there came across, this passage, it came across Acts chapter 22, verse 19. I'll go ahead and read that. This is, I guess, where is it? There it is. Well, I think I may have. You got to forgive me on this one. I think I jotted the wrong verse down. Anyway, it's in Acts chapter 22. Paul's testimony, and it came to pass that as I made my journey, come nigh, Damascus light. Okay, this is chapter 22, verse 6. Okay, and I'll just go ahead and read the passage till I find the verse. I wrote the verse down wrong, but I got this from this from the Vines Dictionary. Right, and it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they, it was verse 9, and they that were with me saw indeed the light that was about me, that was round about me. They that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And that is, I'll just jot this down so I know exactly what verses it is. Okay. We're looking at Matthew 19, verse 16 through 30, with the young ruler. In verse 22, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away. I looked up that term heard, Strong's number 191. What the Vines said, the Vines took us to this passage, Acts chapter 22, verse 9, where they heard not the voice. See, these, Paul was there, men were with Paul. They all saw this light round about Paul with a natural eye, and yet only one heard the voice. The one who heard the voice is the one who saw the heavenly vision. All else did not hear the voice. All else did not hear the vision. All they saw was something on the outward. Okay? This young man in Matthew 19... you can say he heard something of the outward, something of what he considered of value, but he did not see the greater worth, Christ himself, that was being offered to him. Therefore, he went away. He did not continue. He went, he left. Listen, he left empty. He left void. He left never coming to life. Now, I know that those two terms that I use, empty and void, I know it. I've used the passage in Genesis. Well, that's after the Lord creates the creation. So I may just well say the young man, he just left with nothing. He left as he came, with nothing, no life present. Okay? All right. Now, with vines, they hear not the voice. They see all these things on the outward, but they hear not the voice. You can say their hearts were not turned to hear the voice. I heard the voice that spake with me, and I turned like John. Why do I say that? In Acts chapter 26, verses maybe 10, somewhere around through there, 9, 10, somewhere around, Paul gives the account again where the Lord says, or probably in the teens, excuse me, I'd have to flip there, but he says, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. The Lord had been dealing with Saul's heart, and Saul's heart finally yielded. And that's why Saul heard the voice, and that's why Saul turned to see the voice. Okay, now back with this vines. They all saw a light that was exterior, but did not hear the voice. I have a little comment here. So then what do we want? Do we want the exteriors, or do we want the voice? The voice which always leads to the heavenly vision. See, the perfect order in John, the perfect order right here. I heard the voice, and then I see the voice. The same thing with John. The man looked on the outward. The young man that came to the Lord, who had great possessions, he looked to the outward. He valued the outward. He valued what he considered to be his life. He valued what he considered to be his worth. He valued what he considered to be of value, of possession. But he did not value the worth of God in Christ. He only valued what he saw. Yes, Jesus was right there in front of him, even speaking to him. He neither heard him nor saw him. All he heard and all he saw was what was before his own face, which was his face. And that's where he found his value. That's where he found his worth. And that's why he continued in that same route. Okay? Now, in the Thayer's Greek lexicon for the same passage, same word heard, actually it's when heard, Strong's 191. It means to attend to, consider what is or has been said, to understand, perceive the sense of what is said, to get by hearing, learn, to get by hearing, learn. And I made a little note here, learning made perfect in the appearing of Christ. And see, I'm not talking about a natural appearing. Just as the Lord appeared, this young man came to the Lord who had appeared, listen, in time, in the natural, in the flesh, and yet he went away. He didn't learn, right? To get by hearing, to learn. That's why I say it's learning made perfect in the appearing of Christ. But what appearing is this? On the outward? No. On the inward, when the heart is obedient and turns and the Lord appears, the veil is removed. Okay? The Thayer's Greek lexicon, it goes on and it says, to give ear to a teaching or a teacher, to comprehend, to understand. And I like that. I like that they put that in there. To give ear to a teaching or a teacher, to comprehend, to understand. Here's what I wrote. The majority who have not turned to see the voice. To give ear, natural ear, to a teaching or a teacher, and yet never having heard the voice of God, therefore never turning to see the voice of God, and always considering what we have heard in our own face, and counting that as value, that as worth. Versus seeing all things in the face of Christ. Versus seeing, let me put it this way, the value of God in the face of Christ. The worth of God in the face of Christ. Okay? I'll just go ahead and read verse 22 again. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful. For he had great possessions. Once again, great possessions. All that he could value by his natural eyes that he could see, that he could external senses, the external sense realm. Okay? I did mark it right here. He went away, that passage, that phrase, he went away, is Strong's number 565, and I looked at that in the Thayer's as well, Thayer's Greek lexicon. It means to go away, depart, to go away, evanescent, of an evanescent state of things. That's my big word for the class. I looked at it in the Webster's 1828 dictionary. It basically means this: vanishing, subject to vanishing, fleeing, passing away. Vanishing, subject to vanishing, fleeing, passing away. Do we remember the glory that was upon the face of Moses? It was a glory that could be seen with the natural eye. And yet Corinthians 3, Paul says the glory was passing, it was fleeing, it was passing away to give way to the greater glory, the glory that cannot be seen with the natural eye. Okay? There was something that was temporal, testifying, I'm speaking of the glory, testifying of a greater glory. Here's everything that is temporal that is passing away, vanishing. And I wrote down, like the children of Israel who stood afar off. The children of Israel, who they themselves passed away. The ones who were disobedient. The passage, Numbers 32. We'll go ahead and read it. I was listening to it the other day on an audio Bible in my truck on my way up here. In Spanish, there you go. And I caught this, and it made a whole lot of sense. I can see it better. All right, I'll just go ahead and read it. This is Numbers chapter 32, and I'll just start with verse 1. Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle, and when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, then behold, the place was a place for cattle. The children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and Eleazar the priest and unto the princes of the congregation, saying, Ataroth and Dibon and Jazer and Nimrah and Heshbon and Elealeh and Shebam and Nebo and Beon, even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Wherefore, said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over the Jordan. They're about to go in and possess the land, okay? And these guys say, this land's really good for cattle. We have a lot of cattle. This will work great for us. Verse 6, and this is what I'm getting at. Verse 6, and Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them? Verse 8. Thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For when they went up unto the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel, that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. And the Lord's anger was kindled the same time, and he swore, saying, surely, verse 11, look at this, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me. I've got a little note here in the Hebrew. It says, fulfilled after me. Now, fulfilled after me. They have not wholly followed me, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. Wholly follow. In the passage that I'm thinking of, it's, forgive me, I'm thinking of it in Spanish. It's where you're following the Lord with your whole heart, where that's what's following the Lord. Your heart is following the Lord, not of the external, but of the internal. Okay, right here, only Caleb and Joshua had wholly followed the Lord. Their hearts were following after the Lord. All right, their hearts were continuing. They were continuing. Their hearts were following the Lord. The whole congregation, no, they stayed. They remained, and they passed away. They passed away. But those who remained were those whose hearts were following the Lord, and they continued. Okay, and this is just with this passage here with the young ruler. And of course, we know his heart wasn't turned after the Lord, so therefore he could not follow the Lord. Verse 25, when his disciples heard, same term, Strong's number 191, heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, and who then can be saved? But when Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men is it impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And the Lord says this, verily I say to you that they which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, he shall also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses of brethren, sisters, father, mother, wife, or children, or lands for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. And I was just thinking of that. I don't by any means have an understanding, a perfect understanding of verse 30, but I just was looking at this. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. See, this young man comes to Jesus. He wants eternal life. He just wants eternal life apart from Christ. He wants it in his own life, in his own, what he considers to be his life, in his own state of things. And we already know that's impossible. It is impossible. Man could not have life in this state. All right? So then, the Lord gives him instruction. Okay, so sell that thou hast. Come, follow me, and you will have treasure in heaven. You will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. He didn't see the worth of God. He didn't value Christ. All right, he found himself as of value. He found himself as of worth in his own face. Okay, so he in his own heart is first, and the one he is before, the eternal worth, the eternal treasure of God, he considers him to be last, of lesser importance than he himself. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. The term last, Strong's number 2078, extreme, last in time or place, of rank, great of worth, last, that is lowest. Everyone coming to the Lord, we are the first in our heart. We are. And we see the Lord himself as the last. As of rank or grade of worth, not as great as ourselves. Okay? As we continue, it's the same thing, because we're still governed by the natural mind until the heart finally turns to the Lord. And then the last that we considered to be last is now first. And we ourselves, who considered ourselves to be first, are now made last, are now in our own hearts the lowest. And I think of Paul when he says this, least of all the apostles. How could Paul say, I am the least of all the apostles? Was it the reason he could say this is because he saw the Lord. He saw the Lord. He saw where the value was, and he saw where the value was not. He saw where the worth of God was, what God values, the image that God values, and he saw the image that God does not value. As I stated that I was going to talk about our diagram a little bit, our diagram. I've got several verses. I may cover them, I may not. But one of the things that I was thinking of was basically this. Here's with a picture of Jesus. Jesus shows up on the scene. He appears in time. He's crucified. He is buried. He alone, life alone, is risen. He alone is risen. His life. He is life. He is the risen one. He is risen. Okay? Now you have, of course, all those who waited for his appearing came forth after his resurrection. Okay? And now you have those who are alive in the flesh today, born in the flesh. Right? Born of the flesh. You have those who are not born again. And then you have those who are born again. Right? When a person's heart, when the Holy Spirit deals with the heart, when the person's heart finally turns to the Lord, life appears where there was no life before. Let me make this a little wider here. Life appears where there was no life before. All right? Because life is in the soul now, in this soul is now found in union with God. This soul, listen, is now found in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You can see my little dashed square. The thing is that we are ignorant of the life that is present. Therefore, we are ignorant of the union that has taken place at new birth. We are ignorant of the life that is present, therefore we are ignorant of the change that has taken place at new birth. Here's the indwelling Christ, and yet here is the veil of ignorance. Remember, there is no veil on Christ. The veil is upon our heart. We'll go ahead and just read some of these verses right here. The passage that we had looked at with Matthew, with the young man, the rich young ruler, Jesus said basically, sell that thou hast, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. Right? Follow. Continue. Come, follow me. Be in union with the road. Be in union with the way. Be in union with Christ. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where your treasure is, the young ruler, it was all bound up upon the earth. There's his heart. Jesus speaking to those who are not born again, speaking to those who are born again, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Above. The other passage, Luke chapter 12. It's the same passage. Excuse me, the same passage, different gospel. The gospel of Luke. Chapter 12, verse 16 through 34, I think. kind of like this. Yeah. We'll start with verse 13. It's called, I have a subtitle here, A Prosperous Farmer. Verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. Speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. The inheritance of our father with me. Okay. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will put down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and all my goods, all my plentiful abundance. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Treasure for himself. Listen to that. Treasure for himself. Finding value for himself versus finding the value of God in Christ. Where's Christ alone? Right? Wow. Then it goes on. I'll start with verse 29. I don't even know where to start. You could start probably verse 22. Keep on reading through the whole chapter. But I'll basically start with verse 29. And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye doubtful, be of doubtful mind, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in heaven that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Colossians 3, set your affection on that which is above, not on that which is on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now here's the key. When he who is your life shall appear, when he who is your life appears, then you shall also appear with him in glory. Then, see, the same exact thing that Jesus said to his disciples, he said, John 14:20, I think it was, in that day you will know. In that day, what day? The day that the heart turns to the Lord, the veil's removed, the day dawns in the heart. In that day you will know, I'm in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. That is reality. That is a constant. I think you can see it with my diagram. I've got that as white. That is a constant. That's a constant reality for the one who's born again. The moment they're born again, Christ has entered the soul. See, here's one who's not born again. Their soul is blank. There's no life there. Here's one who is born again. Christ has entered into the soul. And because, by virtue of Christ being in the soul, now that soul is found in union with God in Christ Jesus. Paul said it. Raised up, seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, somewhere around there. But here's this man who's born again. in his body, in his natural body, is no different than this man who's not. Right? They're both standing. Well, I'll just use this example. They're both standing together. They're both standing in the same area, in the same room. This one appears no different than this one. No different to the natural eye. No different to the natural understanding. How can this man be raised up? I don't see it. Why shouldn't this man be raised up if this one's raised up? There's no difference. No difference to the natural eye. The reality of God cannot be seen with a natural eye. When Christ appears in the soul, that soul is now in union with God. Raised up, seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It is of God that you are in Christ Jesus. Do you know that? 1 Corinthians 1:30. It is of God that you are in Christ Jesus. Not of you, not of man, not of your carnal mind, not of someone else's carnal mind, but of God. I wrote down this. We will read some of these verses. I wrote down this. We do not know where we are. Speaking to the born-again believer, we do not know where we are in Him because we do not know where He is in us. With our diagram, we do not know where we are in Him because we do not know where He is in us. You cannot know that with the natural mind, because the natural mind processes what the natural ear and the natural eye judge, make a judgment of. You cannot be known by the natural eye. Jesus, the eternal treasure of heaven of all time, is before this young man, and he does not see the value of Christ. He considers his own face of more value. He considers himself as first, and he considers Christ as last. Not so in the kingdom of God. Not so when the heart is turned unto the Lord, and this veil right here is removed. Remember, there is no veil in Christ. There is no veil in Christ. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter, where was it? No, I wrote down some verses here. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, how about verse 14? But their minds, this is Paul speaking of the Jews, but for the born again believer as well. Why? Because we are born blind, like the man in John chapter 9. We don't want to admit it. We will not confess. We do not like to confess that we're blind. We do not like to confess that we are ignorant. We do not like to confess that we have made idols. We do not like to confess that we have our images, our vain imaginations and our vain illusions. We don't like to confess that. But all that is there till the heart turns to the Lord, until the heart continues to turn to the Lord. Continues. Remember, it's the evening and the morning were the first day. That's one appearing of Christ. That's one appearing of the light in the creation of God. The evening and the morning were the second day. That's another appearing of the light in the creation of God. Do you see? The evening and the morning were the third day, the fourth day. Jesus speaking to Paul, this thy see me, and thy see me hereafter. A continual appearing of Christ, which means a continual turning of the heart to see the voice that speaketh with us. And being turned, we see the heavenly vision. Continually. It's not a one-time deal. It's not a one-time thing. No. New birth is a one-time thing. Reality, entering into new birth, entering into the new covenant, entering into life. New birth, life having entered into us. Because Christ having entered into us, this is a one-time thing. This is reality. Ah, but the knowing of reality, the knowing of the indwelling Christ. This is the mind being renewed day by day by day by day, appearing by appearing by appearing by appearing. But what if there is no appearing and appearing and appearing? then there is no renewing of the mind. And the mind continues ignorant, governed by the natural mind, which is upon this little natural brain, versus being governed by the mind of Christ. We are only governed How shall I put it? Right, let me put it this way. We are governed by our natural mind till our hearts turned to behold the face of Christ. With every appearing of the Lord, we are governed by that appearing. With every appearing of the Lord. I mean, every appearing of the Lord. Jesus said, you search the Scriptures, in them you think you have eternal life. There are they that testify of me. If it speaks of eternal life, I am that eternal life. Question is, have I appeared unto this one? Have I appeared unto this one as eternal life? If not, then they are not governed by eternal life. They have no clue of eternal life. They know not eternal life. They cannot partake of eternal life. Then they cannot participate of eternal life. You see? Other term. Righteousness. A kingdom, right? Solomon, peace. A reign of peace. Governed by every appearing of the Lord. Day by day by day. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14. But their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away, not taken away, in the reading of the Old Testament. The veil which is upon their heart, it remains there, okay? Which veil is done away in Christ. In Him, there is no veil. There is no veil in Him. There is no darkness in Him. See? And yet, we are in Him. But in our understanding, we are ignorant. Ignorant of what? Of the indwelling Christ. See, till we know where Christ is, we have no clue where we are. Oh, in reality. Yes? Well, what will I say? We have a concept here. It is our carnal mind. We have a concept of what we think we know, of what we are vain illusions and imaginations, of where we believe ourselves to be, of what we believe to be of worth, of value. But not so in reality. Not so in reality. You cannot know your union with God except you know that the indwelling Christ is present. Jesus said, in that day, when your heart finally turns to the Lord and the veil is removed, you will know. In that day, you will know. In the light, you know. Till the light dawns, the day star appear in your heart, you are ignorant and governed by ignorance. Believing we have some life apart from Christ. Believing we are in one place and God some other place. Completely ignorant of the indwelling Christ who is within the soul. See? Ignorance. But with the Lord there is no shadow of turning with Him. He dwelleth in light. In Him there is no darkness. There is no veil. Which veil, this ignorant veil is done away with in Christ. And white, I with a chalkboard I drew it in white. This is the eternal reality. And these, I'm not sure if you can tell it or not, but these little arrows that I did, they're in blue. I'm just tracing this. This is, what do I say this is? This is the heart turning to the Lord. Remember? It's not a one-time deal. The heart just doesn't turn to the Lord and now you're born again and great. Happy hallelujah, you're on your way. No, 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 no. This, thy seeing me hereafter. A continual turning of the heart. It is a lifestyle of repentance, if you will. If you understand the term repentance. If you understand repentance in its truest sense. Turning the heart, the turning of the heart unto the Lord. True repentance. It's a lifestyle of repentance. And I know we get it all mixed up. We think, oh yes, I have to have a lifestyle of repentance by saying, oh, I'm sorry for doing this, I'm sorry for doing that. No, no. All that happens when you have your face in view. Repentance, in its truest sense, is the heart turning unto the Lord and beholding not your face, but the face of God, the face of Christ, the glory of God. See, that's another thing. We have no clue where glory is till our hearts turn unto the Lord. The glory of God which is in you, Christ, listen, Christ in you, the expectation that these had in the Old Testament right here, the Old Testament of saints, they had an expectation of glory, which is Christ in you, the expectation of glory. That's where the glory is found, in His face. But how will you know that the glory is present except you look in His face? All right, some more verses here. 1 Corinthians 1:30, we already quoted it. But of Him are you in Christ Jesus. Don't you love that? Of Him are you in Christ Jesus. Who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, Him that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And this is, all these verses are going to fall under the, we do not know we are in Him. Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, I love this, could not speak unto you as unto, listen, as unto spiritual up here in the heavenlies. You're going to love this. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. Remember in Ephesians, Paul said, who hath raised us up, seated us together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual. Another thing that Jesus told a young man, if thou wilt be perfect. When I was a child, I spake as a child, understood as a child. But when the perfect appeared, when my heart finally turned to the Lord and the perfect appeared, I put away the things of the child. All these little imaginations and illusions. Because in the perfect, there are no imaginations. There are no illusions. There is just, listen, the truth. Christ, who is the truth. You love this. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual beings, heavenly beings in Christ Jesus. I couldn't speak to you as with you having this understanding, because you did not have that understanding. I had to speak to you as because you had this understanding, even as unto carnal, temporal, passing away. Ignorant, completely ignorant of this union, completely ignorant of this reality, because completely ignorant of the indwelling Christ. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul is speaking about the appearing of the Lord, the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Chapter 4, he says, as God that commanded the light to shine out of darkness, Genesis chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, so hath He shined in our hearts. I love that. He hath shined in our hearts in the darkness, in the darkened understanding of our hearts. To give what? The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And I, brethren, could not, brethren. And I, brethren. He's speaking to those who are born again. To those who have life and yet are ignorant of the life that they have. Ignorant of the reality of the indwelling Christ. that is present in their souls. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. Listen, he doesn't leave them there. Even as babes in Christ. Even as babes in Christ. See, he doesn't just leave them. I couldn't speak to you as spiritual. I had to speak to you as unto carnal. He didn't leave it there. Lest they think, oh yes, yeah, we're one place, God is another. You know, still old covenant. God's on the outside, somewhere off over there. No. Even as babes. Babes here, having the understanding of a babe. In Christ. Ignorant, but in Christ. Ignorant of the reality, but the reality remains. Because this is passing. All this of the outward is passing. It's temporal, it's carnal. Christ remains. Christ is eternal. It's not passing. Okay, another passage. 2 Corinthians. I love that. Paul doesn't leave us because the Lord doesn't leave us, right? The Lord doesn't deal with us after our illusions, imaginations, after our false concepts. He deals with us according to the truth. Second Corinthians 1:21. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. Now he which establishes us and you in Christ is God. We are in this union. We are in this reality. Question is, are we established in this reality? See, we're only established when our heart turns to the Lord and the veil is removed and we behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And our minds are then renewed day by day by day by day. Now, I don't know if it'll be able to show up or not. Here's the understanding of a child. No, not as unto spiritual, but as unto children. Even babes in Christ. The understanding of a child. Carnal. Right? And I don't know if this is going to pick up or not, but I'm going to try to do this. Because we have our crazy concepts. I know I've got my crazy concepts too. All I'm doing is taking away this dashed square, which represents an understanding of carnality. Carnal. Just something temporal, something that's not eternal. Doesn't matter what it is. Could be in our minds, in our concepts, something good. Usually we consider it something evil, but in God's mind it's all evil. The only good is the face of Christ, right? God saw the light, that it was good. Everything else, carnal and evil. See, now, with our diagram, here's a born-again believer. Paul could say to this one, with our diagram, I could speak to you as one who's spiritual. Why? Because your heart is turned unto the Lord and the veil is removed. The veil is removed. You're no longer abiding in you, yet you abide in Christ. There it is. You appear outwardly no different than the one who has no life, and yet you have life. Outwardly you appear no different. As unto time, as unto place, as unto relationship, as unto all these things. You appear no different than the one who hath no life, and yet you are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, because life is in you, because Christ is in you. And your heart is turned, therefore there is no veil. Right? Here's one who is made perfect. If thou wilt be perfect, beholding the one who is perfect, beholding Christ himself, no different than any other person on the outward, yet in union with God, and partaking of that union. Beholding the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, the light shining in the darkness. All that being said, here once again, we have the one who's carnal. No different than the one who is spiritual. No different whatsoever. Except in understanding. The one who's carnal has a veil of ignorance. Ignorance of the indwelling Christ. That's all it is. It's ignorance of the indwelling Christ. The one who's spiritual has no veil, because there is no veil in Christ. All right? We do not know where we are in Him. We do not know that we are in union with Him, because we do not know He is in us. 1 Corinthians, I may have read this verse, forgive me if I already read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. verse 16. Know ye not, now here's Paul speaking to the brethren, to the church, to those who are born again, to those who have received salvation, to those who have received Christ. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Boom, right there. Don't you know? No, we do not know, because there is a veil. There's a veil of ignorance there. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Forgive me. Verse 19. The same thing. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God? Of God, the Holy One is in you. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy One? No, we do not know. Why? Because this little veil of ignorance remains, because our hearts have not turned unto the Lord. But when it, the heart, shall turn unto the Lord, the veil shall be removed. Why? Because our heart turns unto the Lord, and in Christ there is no veil. In that day you will know I am in my Father, you are in me, because I am in you. Okay. One of our... I'm not going to be able to get to him. No, I won't. Let me mark this here for our next class. This is really good. It is... I'll put it this way. It is and will always be an issue of the heart. For the one who's not born again, their heart must turn unto the Lord, that life may appear where there was no life before. For the one who is born again, their heart must continue to turn to the Lord, that now, listen, the light of life may appear. That the veil be removed. That the light of life appear. To walk in the good of life. Amen. We're going to go ahead and end for this class. We'll continue with this class. We'll look at these other passages, but it is a deal, an issue of the heart, and the heart turning and continuing. And as I said, I had to change up my diagram a little bit, lest we, you know, get comfortable and think that there is a veil in Christ when there is not. There is no veil in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. No, in Him there is no veil. The veil is done away in Him. That's where the veil is done away, right there in reality. The veil that remains over our heart is simply the veil of ignorance. What? We know not the indwelling Christ. We know not the change that has come about in the cross. New birth. Okay? So I'll leave you all with that. The Lord bless you all, and we'll see you in our next class. Amen? Amen.